Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different fashion styling businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the third of that series, and I interview Elsa Isaac, who's based in New York City. Elsa helps female entrepreneurs and executives create a wardrobe that allows them to show up with unshakable confidence so that they can make the biggest impact possible with their work. Elsa has worked with some pretty heavy hitters in the online marketing world, Marie Forleo, Rachel Rogers, and Toby Fairley, to name a few. And most importantly, Elsa's work speaks for itself. Take a look at her website and you'll see women from around the country showing up as their best selves and looking amazing in the process. In this episode, Elsa shares more about her business, how she's serving more people beyond her one-on-one services, and the surprising marketing channels that are working well for her. Don't forget to visit the show notes and get all the links mentioned in this episode. Elsa, I'm so pumped to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining.
Yay, Lauren. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and you've built this amazing business as an image stylist for female entrepreneurs and executives. For anyone who's listening that may not quite be familiar with what an image stylist is, can you share what that means to you?
Sure. Yeah, I think probably the most simplest way is I help women shop for clothing that makes them feel confident and beautiful and like the best version of who they are. And, you know, I think there's a misconception out there that we should just be born knowing how to do that. But I think it's a very nuanced thing. And it oftentimes requires the perspective of an outside person, a professional, of course. And that's what I get to do.
Well, first of all, that sounds like so much fun. I bet the transformation you help your clients achieve and feel is really rewarding.
Absolutely. I got my start in styling really in the music industry. So my very first gig was styling a male artist and his band and extras for a music video. And then kind of like, you know, snowballed from there in terms of working in that industry, in the music industry itself, with magazines, with commercials for corporate companies. And I did that for the first, you know, the beginning half of my career. And I was literally at a crossroads in terms of realizing that, like, I loved styling, but I didn't know what I wasn't loving about it. And it wasn't, you know, until it took me a couple years to realize that it was just how I was the industry I was in, how I was kind of expressing my talent, and in the industry I was expressing it was not aligned. And as soon as I found that niche in terms of working with women entrepreneurs and executives, that was it. That was where my heart was at. And it's been, I feel really lucky to have found this particular way of styling. So 100% rewarding.
So let me ask a little bit about that, because, you know, if you're styling in the music industry, you're very much styling for a performance, right?
Yes.
I imagine in the work you do with female entrepreneurs and executives, there is some element of performance, especially if you're showing up for a photo shoot or a video shoot, that's like still encompassed in the work that you do.
Yes, that's a great point. It really is the same, but like how you approach it is completely different, right? So I think usually when I'm working, you know, when I was working in be the commercial industry, there's usually a corporate person or group of people that are dictating what the outcome is, like what they want the field to be, how the model should look, how the artist should look. So it's very manufactured, you know, at least especially at the time that I was doing this. And, you know, in working with women entrepreneurs and professionals, what I do is I always say I don't give my client style. I really just try and do my best to listen very well. And you know, I ask clients to fill out a questionnaire and some other things. And I really just look at that information, and that informs my clothing options for them. So it's really just bringing out the best version of who they are, especially for things like, really the nuance for photo shoots and video shoots is from a technical standpoint. There are clothing there's clothing out there that you can wear in real life that doesn't translate on camera. And so, you know, that is a different lens that I use when shopping for specific projects that are for camera. But it's always with the client in mind. It's always with the personality of who that person is and how they want to show up and what they want to communicate to their audience and to the world that makes all the difference. And it is different in that sense, in terms of my client is who informs my shopping.
Well, I think that's a really beautiful approach and probably feels very aligned for your client, because I imagine there's some sense of nerves that they come with around handing off their wardrobe choices to you.
Yeah, it's also a deeply intimate process. We are dressing bodies, right? The clothing that I'm shopping for goes on your body, and we have complicated relationships with our body. And I think it's a never ending, you know, kind of just work in progress in terms of how we relate to our bodies, how we connect to our bodies. And that often is the reason why it is kind of a relief oftentimes for my clients to be able to hand that off and say, I have too much interference in the way of how I see myself and what the potential is for this current version of myself, right? Because we, as women, business owners, professionals, we've achieved this success, and we've evolved tenfold, right? From, let's say, the last time we had the bandwidth to care about our clothing and how we showed up. And in that time, it's hard to interpret, right? It's hard to go like, wait, the Elsa I was in college is not the Elsa now, like 20 years later, you know, at this level of business building and motherhood and, you know, partner. There's so much that goes on that for you to kind of keep up with that is kind of, it's hard. It's hard to see yourself in that way and to see yourself in this different version that is so much more, I guess, really, that because you can't, I don't know. I feel like my personal philosophy on business and success, and even in, you know, if you're an executive, is that there's so much interpersonal work that has to go into it. And so you're just constantly evolving, and you show up as this person differently on the inside. And then it's so frustrating to constantly open up a closet that just doesn't have the clothing that reflects that. And so I do think there's a bit of relief by the time they get to me and they're like, you know what? I need help. I just don't, I'm completely misaligned. How I'm showing up out here is completely misaligned with how I feel. And I need this to be connected.
I bet. And I think anyone listening can reflect on a time when they felt that way. Like, I was certainly reflecting on a few times I felt that way when you were speaking, but also there's a level of, as a business owner or executive, there's things you need to be thinking about, things you need to be worrying about. And wardrobe feels like not one of them or not a distraction. And just being able to outsource that to you, I think, is a beautiful gift of, hey, I know I'm going to show up looking fabulous, and I don't even have to think about that decision in my day.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know what I like to equate it to? It's like, I am not a tech person, right? So I don't attempt, I may have at the very, very beginning attempted to like build out my site on WordPress. And I was like, what am I doing? This is going to take me 1,000 years. You know what I mean? And we don't think twice about things like that. We're just like, you know what? This is worth the investment because this is not my zone of genius. This is not where my time is best spent. Another area for me is copywriting. Like, sure, I could do it, but I would sit there for hours and hours and hours. And of course, copywriters do this for hours, but they're way more efficient at it than I would be. And I just don't want to spend my time like feeling like I am getting nowhere, right? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I think there's so many areas of our life where we do this too. It's a no-brainer. We're just going to hand this off to someone whose zone of genius this is. And I think there's, again, like this misconception that we're just supposed to know how to wear clothes, but there is an art to it. There's strategy to it. And no one should feel guilty if that's not something that you are good at, because it's hard. It's hard to see yourself in a way that really just, because when I look at my clients, I'm like, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless. When we're doing it and we're seeing the possibilities, we're so much more limited. And I think that that's just something I hope that women embrace more, is like, you know, to this work is not really just for celebrities at all. It's really for anyone who is stepping into the true version of themselves that they have been working towards and creating and building, and really just allowing everyone, not only, it's really for yourself, allowing yourself to see what that looks like, what you look like. And because oftentimes that's all you need is a template, right? So I always say I create a template. So then, you know, oftentimes, sometimes there are clients who work with me one time and they're able to then just go out and replicate and even evolve what I created with them and run with it. Sometimes it takes a couple of times. And like you said, sometimes it's just a matter of like, this is not something I ever want to have on my plate. You know, like, let's just, you know, I'm going to just hand this off to you and trust the process. And that's how I prefer it. So I think there's no shame, no guilt. I think it should be normalized, really.
Yeah, I think, and you could probably speak more to this, but perhaps historically, it's felt very much like a luxury or something that's only for people of a certain status or people mm-hmm. with a certain team size. I really love your approach to let's dispel this myth and let's normalize this, because it's okay to outsource this to someone else. And in fact, you might really enjoy outsourcing it to someone else.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, it really affects your energy. You know, I know we've all had a moment or two in our lives where we put on a dress or an outfit and we just feel like it's, you know, there's a reason why superheroes have these uniforms, costumes, capes, you name it. They step into that and they become their stronger selves, right? This alter ego of themselves. Whereas we can literally feel that way all the time. And I think that's something that's not really often spoken about, is like there's an energy shift when you show up feeling like so much more confident, right, than you usually are. And there's nothing wrong with wearing sweats or leggings, but I think it's really important to create a wardrobe that really you can open up and feel really confident and excited to wear everything in it. It really just takes mindfulness and intention. And I think that is the difference, you know, in terms of like when you look at celebrities, right? Like they're doing things on a high level, but so are you, right? So am I. Just because they're on TV and we happen to know their names, it doesn't mean that they're more deserving of having someone do this for them. It really, they just understand, right? I think that business model, they just get that that's what's required to do the work, right? To be in the industry. And I think that's what needs to change, is really understanding that this is part of your work. And I bring this up as often as I can, because I think it's such a great way to put things into perspective. But I had a client actually send me an article about how this author, I forget who the author is, basically spoke about why style and feeling confident in your wardrobe is so important. And they equated this with the idea of like, you know, Catholic Church maybe, but like how if at the beginning of the Catholic Church, if the, you know, preachers or whoever came out in the equivalent of jeans and a t-shirt, no one would have taken them seriously, right? they dressed the part. They created these beautiful buildings and elaborate, you know, stained glass windows with all the detail, because they understood that this is what we want to, this is our message. And we need to believe in this message, and we need to show up and inspire and be aspirational so that we can reach the people we want to reach. And that's also a whole nother kind of component to really showing up, because what, like it or not, we are visual creatures, and how we, what we see is the message that gets delivered to our brains first and foremost, right? So why not be intentional with it and really let that part of yourself not only, you know, communicate to the people that you are speaking to, but first and foremost to yourself, so that you show up with the energy that is required to do the work that you're meant to do in the world.
I am speechless, because I just think, I think that's a really powerful message. And, you know, as anyone who runs their own business and has had to be visible in some way, shape, or form, outside, often outside their comfort zone, you really appreciate when you show up looking dang good and are like, okay, I don't have to worry about how I look. I just have to worry about delivering whatever message I'm here to deliver. And to some degree, especially with social media or speaking engagements, or maybe someone has a YouTube show or a podcast that's listening to this, we all have to show up in some way not dissimilar to celebrities. We just may not have the same reach. So I really love what you share and thinking about, okay, what is the, what message do I want to deliver, and how can I make it reach as many people as possible by showing up as my best self, or showing up as my most aspirational self?
Yes, exactly.
You know, you hinted at how your clients really drive the final looks that you create, and that comes from them, not from someone else. But I know part of what you do that's so beautiful is, you know, you have this unique kind of body shape diagnosis and unique questionnaire that you hinted at, but maybe you can talk a little bit about the nuance of how you make sure that what you do fits your clients and isn't just kind of like a cookie cutter look that you put on everyone. And I've seen pictures of your amazing work. Everyone looks so different and amazing. So I'd just love for our listeners to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. And that is still probably the best compliment ever as a stylist. And I hear that oftentimes from, you know, potential clients on discovery calls and just, you know, other people. And that is always the goal. And one of the things that, you know, in my, when you introduced me, I talked about like how I'm kind of, I call myself the anti-fashion stylist, because I always felt like the industry never took the, it doesn't really take the individual into consideration, right? This is like an entire industry that dictates what's trendy, what you should be wearing. And, you know, it is getting better, but, you know, in, on models that are not inclusive, right, in terms of sizing. And so I, early on, you know, as a Black woman, never felt included in the fashion magazines and just all of that. And so that really always lingered. And so I decided one of the things I was going to do was to create a body shape calculator so that women could really start where it all begins, really and truly. And it's that relationship with your body. Now, I know it's a constant work in progress, but understanding that first and foremost is the foundation. You can't hide your body, right? That's definitely not the goal. It's really to work with the nuances and lines and shapes of your body. And so I created this body shape calculator to give you results named after celebrities, because I personally did not want to be referred to as the pear or any other fruit. And so I wanted to make it fun. And you know, it doesn't mean that you are that celebrity exactly. You know, I think that that always kind of warrants being said, but it's really just the silhouette. What is your silhouette? That's the starting point. And so you enter these four measurements into this body shape calculator, and it tells you one of seven body types. And then kind of give you a quick guide glance in terms of what kinds of lines to look for in clothing. You know, clothing and shopping is really comes down to lines and details, right? So understanding that designers are out there trying to fit as many different bodies as possible, and shifting that power away from designers onto yourself and knowing that the responsibility lies with you to find the garment that fits you at least 85% of the way there. And then if you need to tweak it with tailoring, then that's just what needs to happen. Because guess what? The designer does not know who you are, does not know like what size you are, what, you know, the different nuances between shoulders and busts and waist and hips. Like all of that is, it's honestly, there are definitely some things designers can do, but it's tough. You can't fit all the different body shapes. And so understanding that and A, taking into consideration that tailoring is most likely one of the things that you'll have to utilize. But the body shape is first. And then I do have my clients fill out a questionnaire. And in the questionnaire, one of the questions I ask, what are three words that describe how you want your clothes to make you feel? And that's also, you know, essentially what I'm doing is creating filter questions, right? For myself when I'm working with clients, and then for clients, I mean, for non-clients who want to improve their wardrobe on their own. So body shape, does it fit my body shape? Yes or no, right? If it's a no, you don't even go on to the second question. If it's a yes, then you say, okay, well, does this garment make me feel at least two of my three describing words? And if it does, you move on to the third question, which is about your Pinterest board, which I also have clients create and curate. And so this is pretty critical because oftentimes we can't describe what we like, or we can describe what we like, but it's different, you know, it's a different version of, you know, what we may have thought it was. And so giving yourself a visual reference point and starting point allows you to know what direction or what store to start at. Or, you know, if something, once you've created this Pinterest board, it's so much easier to walk into a store or log on to a store and say, you know what? Nope, this isn't working. This isn't in my, you know, visual aesthetic of where I am right now. And so those three things really help you get clear on what you should and shouldn't say yes to, instead of blindly like, oh, it fits, let's buy it. Right. But meanwhile, it's not your vibe, or it doesn't make you feel good. Right. You're just like, oh, but it fits. That's really all I need. But then you're missing the bigger, well, not bigger, I should say, equally important component, which is, does this feel like me? Am I going to feel my best in it? Does it represent what I stand for, what my message is, what my business is? Right. So those are kind of like the first three things that I really focus on when working with new clients, and also just, you know, to my list or to my audience in general.
Well, and I think that's what's so nice about it is it helps both you and the client narrow their choices, because there's so many choices out. It's like looking at a lengthy menu and trying to figure out what you want to eat. It's very hard to do, where if you look at a one page menu that has 10 items, you can pretty quickly make a choice. So I just think not only does it help allow you to take a more strategic approach, but you don't get that analysis paralysis or overwhelm because, oh my gosh, I don't know, I'm in X, whatever the store is, and there's, you know, 100 options for pants. Like, which pants do I choose, you know?
Yes. And you know what else? Another reason I wanted to create this kind of framework is because, you know, we all do this, right? We're like, oh my goodness, so-and-so is wearing this dress and I want it. Or, you know, this, I have clients who'll say, oh, I just buy outfits on the mannequins. If it's styled together, I'll just buy the whole thing. And sometimes that works, right? You might, you know, get lucky and that'll just work for you. But again, my whole purpose and goal here is to change almost instinctual or automatic that we go to outside sources of inspiration first to inform our wardrobe options that are so personal. And so by doing these three things, it keeps the focus on you, your body, how you want to feel, what are you loving right now? So keeping it there and using those three things first. And then of course we are, you know, beholden to some degree to what the industry says, right? Because that's what we're shopping, what designers have out there. But that's why tailoring is super, it's such a secret weapon that I don't think women utilize often enough, because that's where you customize. That's where you can create custom fit. That's where you can change things. Like, I feel like men are so much better at this. They're very matter of fact about tailoring, right? They're just like, this doesn't fit. I need to get these pants shortened. I need to get these sleeves, like whatever. They're just like, make it happen, right? And they're at the tailor and they give, that's it. And I think as women, we really need to embrace this tool and really just use it to customize our wardrobe to so that it feels more like us and is more aligned with who we are.
I think that's a great expert tip for anyone listening who's thinking like, how can I make some of the clothes I like fit me a little better or accentuate my body shape in the way I want it to, you know? And when you look at tailoring compared to the cost of a, you know, piece of clothing that you're going to wear over and over again, it's really quite nominal to make it something that you're excited to wear and you feel good in.
Yes, that's a great point. I'm glad I did. I forgot to bring that up. That's 100% true. It's almost like a no-brainer because you can buy, I can't tell you how many times I've purchased garments from H&M or Zara and just change them, right? Like either change the hem or change the sleeve. And then it's a little bit different, right? Like then I've made it my own. And not to say, you know, you could do this with items that you've purchased, you've invested a little bit more in as well. But like you said, the cost per wear, once you have something that you love, because any little detail that irritates you, like a strap you have to constantly pull up on a dress, or a collar that's constantly turning inward, or like, you know, I'm sure we've all experienced this with like V-necklines or wrap dresses that don't sit well in the chest area, that keep gaping. Any of those details will make you not wear that item. And so spending that little bit of money to tailor it, whether to put hook and eyes in between buttons on a button-down shirt or whatever the case may be, you'll just feel much more confident and comfortable and you'll wear that piece over and over and over again. That's a great point.
I love that. And like I'm just envisioning, as you're saying that, like times where I've worn something that I should have tailored and didn't, and then I'm tugging at it, and that doesn't put forth a look of confidence, and it's just distracting, to be honest, for everyone, everyone around, you know. And I used to train as a ballerina, and we always custom fit everything from your shoes, from your tutu, everything, because no one had the same body shape. And we just knew in order to show up on stage and do what you needed to do, you couldn't have distracting like fits, causing an issue. So I think that's,
I love that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Your shoes, everyone sews their own ribbons on their shoes because everyone has a different way they like them angled. Your point shoes. I mean, there's just so many things you do there, but that's a whole nother story. So you have a couple different services. Also, you have one-on-one services, and then you have some memberships and other programs. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you work with clients and ways a listener could potentially work with you.
Yeah. So the majority of my time is spent working one-on-one with clients. We just launched a membership program called Upstyled as well. That's obviously group-based. And we're just in the home stretch of the beta version right now. So we'll be opening that up soon and we'll see what iteration it takes on as it grows. But one-on-one, you know, I have various packages, experiences that I offer. You know, there's offerings that are specific to a project. Sometimes clients are just kind of getting their wardrobe ready for, you know, a season, you know, whether it be spring, summer, fall, winter, or sometimes a season of appearances, right? Speaking gigs, launches, anything like that. So one-on-one is definitely my heart. That is, you know, in that sense, I'm a true creative. You know, being able to see the start to finish, right? When you work with a client one-on-one is definitely what lights me up and fuels me for sure. But I am really committed to creating a way, and hence the membership, but creating a way to help more people who may not be ready to invest in working with a stylist one-on-one and experiment on their own, which is really what is obviously around my framework. Because I think it's important. I really do think it's something that we all need to embrace a lot sooner and really just figure out how we can incorporate, you know, creating a wardrobe that makes us feel like superheroes or sheroes as much as possible. So those are the two ways that I work with clients right now.
I love that. And, you know, if someone's listening and wondering, am I ready to work with Elsa? Are there specific milestones or triggers that often cause people to seek out your services? I know you hinted at like there's a season of speaking or there's a photo shoot, but maybe for anyone who's listening that might think about the Upstyled membership, what milestones might be causing them to think about, hey, let me go work with Elsa and learn how to do some of this on my own?
I would say, I think for the Upstyled member, as it is currently, is for someone who is in the beginning stages of launching their business or in the middle as well, and is realizing that their wardrobe is just disconnected. And really, this applies to any level. This is usually at the time when I am having conversations with potential clients, is there's some kind of transition happening in their lives. And just feeling like, okay, I really want to put my best foot forward. I want to feel like my outside matches my inside. And so it really is just a matter of, you know, I guess kind of financially where you are. You may not be able to work with a stylist one-on-one, but want to start really building that wardrobe for yourself, right? So it takes more time and you have that. You have more bandwidth to kind of invest this kind of self-work right now. And also really just want to understanding that harnessing that feeling and that energy by creating a wardrobe that is in alignment with who you are on the inside is really one of the keys or secrets, I should say, to success. I really do believe that. I think that that's something that isn't spoken about often because there's this like stigma around like superficial, I don't know, like, I don't know, you know, why that is, but I'm like, we are visual creatures and we wear clothes anyway. So why not be intentional about it and really use that energy to just catapult wherever you are, right? Because I feel like even the women I work with one-on-one are usually at a precipice of even more growth and reaching more people. So there's always an up-level factor to when I'm meeting clients, either at the Upstyled membership level or the one-on-one level. So, and I will say, I think the number one piece that is probably the most important when working with clients, actually at any level, is trusting the process. And I'm sure you feel the same way about clients you've worked with. I think that's really key, is being ready to hand that over to someone else. Obviously, someone you trust. You should definitely shop around and make sure that you feel connected to a stylist. But that is key because it's always tough to kind of get through a transformation when the trust isn't there, which is weird, right? It's like you've never met this person really, and you have to trust them. But that's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I see the same thing when someone's not ready to kind of hand things off. There's this level of micromanagement that happens, understandably, and it gets in the way of a process or a framework, or these are the steps I need to take in order to deliver you the outcome that you want. And just like you talked, for example, about the copywriter, you know, having a copywriter help you with your website copy, you know, I don't think you get the right outcome when you're not ready to trust the expert. And if you're not ready to do that, a great starting point would be something like the Upstyled membership, where it's like, let me get a little more familiar with Elsa, her process, her framework. Because I feel like when you're more educated, then it's about the process, it's easier to trust someone because you feel like you're in good hands.
Yes. And I would say, you know, specifically to a stylist, I mean, I also do this with any really service provider that I am interested in hiring, past work, right? Like, I think one of the things that really, you know, referrals are great. I think the majority of my clients come from referrals, but I think maybe the portfolio or seeing my work on another client is what is the selling point, right? In terms of like, oh, I can visually see the outcome, right? It's a little more tough if you don't have that yet, you know, in terms of like a stylist in particular. But I think that, you know, looking for that, if you're in the process of shopping for a stylist right now, it's really checking out their work. And I always say, the true talent of a stylist is whether or not they dress their clients like themselves. So there's a lot of stylists that will dress clients like mini them versions of themselves. And I would say that wouldn't be the best stylist to reach out to, but stylists who can see their clients as individuals and dress them accordingly is really what you should be looking for.
I really love that piece of advice. And I think it gives someone really good guidance on, you know, it's like when you see your friend wear something and you're like, oh my gosh, that looks amazing on them. And then you wear it and you're like, wow, I look terrible in this. The goal isn't to be a carbon copy of someone else. It's to be you at your best, right? So
yes.
And I think for anyone who's listening that may not be in as visual of a field as you, Elsa, where you can showcase beautiful pictures and it's easy to see, wow, all of Elsa's clients look really different in their what they're wearing, but they all look fabulous. You know, case studies can be a great way to showcase past work without, or testimonials, without necessarily having a portfolio in the same way that you have one.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, everyone has a portfolio if you're in the service industry, right? So like, it may not be obviously styling, but even in copywriting. And sometimes I feel like some people make it hard to get to that. Like, that's what people really want to see is like, I want to see what you've written for different people. And if it sounds the same, right? If you're a copywriter, if you're a web designer, same thing, right? That's visual, right? So I think like really showcasing the depth of your work, right? That you can, I don't know what's more important when you're doing one-to-one. It may be a little bit different when doing a group thing, but even in that, it's really about like, do you see your clients for who they are? And if you do, how can you show that on your website or social media or wherever?
So I'm actually going to circle back to your website in a second, but I did want to just hear a little more about your origin story. You talked about, I started my business after I had a pivot from the music industry and the commercial industry, but is there anything that you feel like you want to share with listeners about why you started this business and how you got here?
Yeah, I mean, the pivot was, you know, it just started with like feeling like not excited about doing jobs, you know, when I was in that commercial world. And there was one shoot we were doing for, I believe it was Good Housekeeping magazine. And it was for a group of women across the US who had undergone this like major weight loss that were being highlighted and being, you know, flown into New York and shot for this story. And I still remember that day so clearly, just like how each woman, I think there might have been four or five, each of them walked in completely nervous and like a deer in headlights, right? Because they're from usually, I think they were mainly from middle America, but definitely not big city women. And they walked in like, okay, we're at this shoot. Like, we're totally nervous. They had no idea what to expect. And after every, you know, kind of evolution in terms of like hair and then makeup and then wardrobe, the way they lit up and the way they then, you know, kind of just gave their energy to the camera when being photographed after each phase was so obviously inspiring enough to stay with me till this day. And I thought that definitely sparked something in me. And I didn't know how it would kind of transpire later on, but I was just kind of looking. I don't know what I was doing. It was just like a crossroads. I'm like, what am I going to do? I have to just looking for answers. And I was not in the online world at all, right? Like this was like back in 2009. And I just happened to be online and found one marketing person. And then he was dating this girl. And I was like, okay, I think I don't, you know, this is how our brain works. We're like, well, I'm going to listen to her since she's a woman. And, you know, let me get on her list. And she happened to interview Marie Forleo. And then I got on Marie Forleo's list because I was like, wait, she's in New York, right? Like even more believable. Because at the time for me, I just didn't know what a life coach was or business coach. Like I had no idea. And so I got on her list and signed up she happened to be launching a year-long program. And I was like, what am I doing considering spending all this money with a stranger I've never met, right? Like, so, but I did it. Those are one of those moments that was a gut thing. And being in her course, you know, getting familiar, she got familiar with me, I got familiar with her, and ended up styling her. So really that was the beginning. That showed me this whole new way of styling that I didn't realize was available to me before then. And it came, well, I guess I looked for it at the perfect time, because then I was like, oh, I can work with real women, not models, right? Real women who actually need this more than models. And, you know, these corporate giant companies, and make more of an impact and really help them feel beautiful. I think that's in essence what we all want to feel, right? Because we are all beautiful, but we have to feel it. And I think that's where the real change comes from. So that's really how I pivoted into working with women entrepreneurs and professionals.
That's such an amazing story. And, you know, one of the reasons why I do this podcast is because so many business owners I interact with hear that there's one way to do business or one way to market themselves or one growth channel they should be on. And I really want to highlight the diversity in business journeys and business growth and what kind of real business owners are doing boots on the ground, because I think there's so much to learn from other people that we can often not copy what people are doing, but just say, oh, wow, how interesting that Elsa did it that way. Maybe there's something in there for me that I could tweak a little bit and then apply to what I'm doing. And so, you know, I just really appreciate you sharing how you got started and, you know, even that little nerves and investing in a stranger, like what that was like for you. What was that? 11 years ago? No, I don't. Yeah. A long time ago, because I think it's easy to forget, you know, when you're that far along, like what was that like back then for me? And so I just think it's really helpful for people to hear, like, this is what the beginning of my journey looked like. This is what the middle of my journey looked like. Because it's so easy to compare yourself to, you know, what you're seeing on social media or the highlight reel and not really understanding, wow, there was a lot of work and sweat and second guessing that went on before someone got to this point.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it just like requires some surrendering, you know, like you may not see, often you can't see the end goal, right? Like, first of all, I didn't even know I wanted to be a stylist, let alone like the niche in how I work with women and clients today. I thought I was going to be a designer, you know? So I think being open to different possibilities and allowing yourself, I mean, we have to plan obviously to some degree, but I think there should be some amount of surrendering in anything that we do and everything that we do, because I truly think that that's oftentimes where the magic is and lies, because we can't plan every single thing, right? Sometimes we just go with the flow and see where it takes us. And I think the moments where I trusted and really just like, what am I doing? Like anytime you think that, lean into that a little more, because I think there's something there.
So, you know, you've been doing this for quite a while, Elsa. How do you get new business now? Have you just built an amazing referral base and that's where you're getting a lot of your clients, or is it some combination of that plus something else? Like what's working for you now?
Well, the number one method is 100% referrals. And that's always like, you know, a double-edged sword, right? It leads to to clients that are really ready, right? The clients that come from referrals because they've seen it or heard it from another person that they trust. And we all know how that works, right? So that's why people get paid all this money to talk about products. But that is, and you know, we're experimenting. I think the beauty of referrals is like I mentioned, that you get really great clients. For me anyway, I get really aligned clients from referrals. And then of course, the unpredictability is the downside to referrals. You don't know how often or when it's going to be super busy and when it's not. So we experiment with different things. And right now we're mainly focused on LinkedIn marketing as a way of kind of creating some leads there. But you know, I like to just kind of be in one place at a time, because that's how my brain works. I'm not good at having several pots going. So we're definitely just focused on LinkedIn right now. And I think soon we might experiment with Facebook marketing. But right now we're mainly on LinkedIn. And obviously I have an email list. So we get clients from there as well. We email once a month. And that's kind of that's kind of it, I feel like. Obviously, I'm on Instagram, but I will say there isn't much of a strategy on there yet. That's something we're looking at. But again, just try not to overwhelm myself and my teams.
Well, I think it's so easy to underestimate how complex every new channel is and to think, oh, I need to be everywhere. And it's hard to be everywhere and do it well. So I really appreciate the focus and maybe the learning lesson there for anyone who's listening and like, oh, I got to be everywhere. No, you don't. Like, you can just do one or two things really well and that can be enough.
Yeah. And I think paying attention to, like, I will say, like, where your clients are, right? Like, one of the things that why I'm focusing on LinkedIn is because I've talked to clients, not all of them, but talked to clients and, you know, asked them, I'm like, so where do you hang out? You know, and oftentimes clients would say LinkedIn, like, that's where I spend the majority of my time. I was in denial for quite some time. And I'm like, why am I not listening to the very people I'm trying to reach out to?
Well, LinkedIn's so beautiful too for you because you can really filter by demographics, job position. I mean, there's so many great things you can do on there that you can't, for example, do on Instagram that I think, you know, if you're looking from the outside in, it would be easy to say, oh, a stylist should be on Instagram. But I think LinkedIn allows you a far more targeted, focused approach than what's going to happen on, you know, than what you'd be doing on Instagram.
Exactly. And I'm, you know, the women I work with are really like, you know, they're not necessarily like artsy, right? Like, I'll get a couple of creative clients, at least in the way that they would need or want to work with a stylist, right? So a lot of them are very business focused and career focused, and they're on LinkedIn because of that. Whereas, you know, the stubborn creative that I was, I had an account on LinkedIn forever, but literally neglected it, right? Was never on there because I thought it was so boring. But yeah, you're right. Like, there's so much incredible data on LinkedIn that isn't available everywhere, you know. And the one thing that LinkedIn doesn't do, which is so insane to me because they have all this other incredible research, you know, kind of parameters, is the gender. So you can't select female versus male, which is in my case kind of a pain, but other than that, it's definitely a great medium for me to be on.
Yeah, it's funny, each platform has its own quirks, and you could definitely get that on Facebook, but you wouldn't get the same. First of all, you'd be competing with a lot of like non-business noise. And yes, you wouldn't be able to filter by job position quite as well. So, or job title.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I'm on your newsletter. I've been on there for a long time. I think it's fabulous. The other thing I wanted to mention to our listeners is your website, because I think it's so well done. Gives people such a good idea of who you are. Like, especially, for example, that section about 11 things, 11 random facts about me. That reading that makes it feel like I know Elsa a little bit better, and it builds that trust that you were talking about earlier of, can I trust Elsa to help me create this transformation? You know, I learned so many things about you that I hadn't learned in your newsletter, like being drawn to shiny clothes, which I also have an affinity for with my dance background.
Go to your
sequins galore.
Right.
But, or even, you know, escaping a fire miraculously when you were young. Like, I mean, there were just so many, I just thought it was really well done. Everything else is really well done too, but that section in particular stood out to me because you're like, if I'm a prospective client, I'm really hiring you, Elsa. I'm hiring your process too, but I'm really placing my trust in, can Elsa deliver this, what's quite an intimate experience, and deliver the outcome I'm looking for? And that just made me feel like, oh gosh, I know Elsa a little bit better. And when I get on a call with her, it's gonna be like I'm talking to a friend versus someone I don't know.
Oh, I love that so much, because that is one of the I feel like clients say that often, is that it feels like a friend, feels like they're hanging out with a friend. And I think that, again, like you mentioned, the process is so intimate, right? Like, we are talking about the vessel that you have been in all your life. And so I say that all the time, right? Even when I'm working with a copywriter, like, this has to feel like we're in a room together by ourselves chatting, because it really just, that's the kind of work it is. And so, you know, Laura Belgray actually helped me with that page, because I remember us writing that, you know, getting to that part. And I was like, I don't want to read boring bios, like me myself, right? Like, I don't want to read paragraphs and paragraphs of stuff. I just want to, like, you know, why can't we just do highlights? And she was like, I think that's a great idea. And so I just love that that came across, because sometimes you don't know how things land, you know? And so that's really awesome to hear.
Yeah. Do you think investing in a copywriter made all the difference for your website in terms of it working as a marketing asset and sales tool for you?
Yes. For me, yes. And I will say it's really a couple of pages. I think the copy on the website, obviously I'm proud of it because it's up. But as I mentioned earlier, I can tell you how I want the reader to feel, how, you know, how I want client to feel, prospective client to feel, but I just don't always have the knack, right? To string those words, those magic words together, right? To get that across. And I can't, and there's a video. So I will say, yes, the About Me page and the video that's on my site, two different copywriters, but when I can't tell you how many times I've been on discovery calls, potential clients who tell me, I literally felt everything that you said. Like, I felt like you were talking to me. And that literally, like, receiving, because I knew it was good, but right, like, I'm not hiring myself. So, when people started telling me that, I was like, oh, okay, there's a reason. Like, I was so much more aware of the need to hire someone. Like, that investment was so well worth it. And if you have that knack, like, if you can do it for yourself, amazing. I just know I did not have that.
Well, it's like, if that's why I hire an accountant and someone to do my tax returns, because that's my knack either.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I ask, and it's a bit of a leading question, is I think so often we focus too much on the looks of our website and forget that the copy is what's doing the heavy lifting from a marketing standpoint, and the form should follow the function, if you will, like the design should follow the copy. And I just think you've done such a beautiful job of that, including in the video, which I watched, I think, 3 times, because I was like, this is so good. But I think for anyone who's listening, like, you should definitely check out Elsa's site as a stellar example of how your website can serve as a sales 24/7 salesperson and not just be a pretty online business card, if you will.
Yes, it should be. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and also just a caveat to that is, this was like 2 iterations after, you know? So I think, like, really the key is to listen to the clients you're working with and really write all that stuff down and then, you know, say it back to them. That's essentially what connects. And I think that I, you know, at the time, right, like, I was looking at websites from Marie Forleo or Chris Carr, like, whoever it was, and I was comparing myself. But at the time, I didn't have enough data yet, right, to create the website that you see now. And I think that's something to give yourself grace for because you may not have enough data, but whatever you do have, like, it can be a one-page site, right? Like, to not overcomplicate things. Like, you know, it's been a work in progress, and I think it resonates so well now because we've just documented a lot of what the experience has been working with clients one-on-one. And it can be intimidating, right? To go to a site and be like, well, how do I do this? It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of people. And I think it does take time to get that really effective, efficient website.
Yes. And hiring a copywriter without enough voice of customer research, or basically without enough client sharing feedback with you, is not going to be a fruitful venture. And in my opinion, that wouldn't be when I would recommend investing. So I really appreciate you sharing that and highlighting that for everyone listening. So Elsa, I really appreciate you sharing the behind the scenes of your business and all about your services and how you make women just feel so beautiful and confident and ready to share their message with the world. If you had to share one piece of advice with another business owner who may be growing their own business or working on their marketing, what might that be?
I think it would be a combination of what we just spoke about in terms of listening. Like if, you know, if you're, you know, I don't know where your customers are normally on their journey, but I feel like you could change at any time as well. But if you're at the beginning or middle, I think listening to your clients, like that's huge. Getting as much experience under your belt so that you can then use that data for your marketing. And then the other part would be what I teach in styling and what I do with my clients when styling them is to infuse as much of you in your marketing as possible. Like, I think that's, we're so, you know, and maybe we are moving a little bit away from this, but I feel like in this marketing industry that we're in, online marketing industry we're in, I think we're too focused on what like the gurus are doing and the influencers are doing. And not to say that we can't learn something from that, but then what happens is everyone starts doing the same thing. And so I feel like the more we infuse ourselves into our marketing, our copy, our email newsletter, or not newsletter, like whatever way that you can bring what you enjoy and who you are into the process, that's the energy that I think resonates with audiences and people. And I think like, and I'm saying this as much for myself as I am to anyone listening, because that's, you know, I get caught up in it. It's like, but maybe I need to be doing this. And, you know, there are times when my team, because I hate launching anything. And my team had to tell me, well, let's not call it a launch. We'll just introduce it, you know, and do fun things. And I think to be open to that is probably really key right now in this. I think we're definitely in a time where we're just information overload all the time. And so that's going to stand out. Like, what would you do? You know, what would you do differently? How would you? Because in the end, that's what makes us us. I'm not the only stylist in the world, right? There's a million copywriters. There's a million web designers. There's so many people that do what you do, but nobody does it how you do it. So how can you infuse that into reaching more people?
Beautiful advice. Elsa, thank you so much for being here. Where can people learn more about you online?
I would say my website, elsaisaac.com, would be the number one place. And then I hang out on LinkedIn and Instagram. Also, Elsa Isaac is my handle. And Isaac is ISAAC. I would say those are the three places I'm at the most.
Great. Well, you can find those links in our show notes. So make sure to check those out and see all the amazing work Elsa's doing and consider joining her Upstyled membership or looking at her one-on-one services. Thank you, Elsa, for being here. I really appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you for having me, Lauren.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.